Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois. For over 96 years, generations of farmers have turned to Farm Credit for their financial needs. Whether a young farmer or a seasoned grower, Farm Credit offers products and services geared specifically to the agricultural community.
From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for the 8th day of April. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Jackie Vakes. She's at Stuart Peterson from right here in Champaign County. We'll take a look at the agricultural news, and we'll discuss the weather forecast, too. That with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City. It all happens on this day before the United States Department of Agriculture USDA April WASDE World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimates Report. It is an important one because it will bring those numbers into compliance, so to speak, with the grain stocks figures, and there is a 150 million bushel discrepancy or thereabouts in the corn market. We'll find out where all of that goes tomorrow, but discuss it today on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Let's check the numbers now as they finished up in Chicago for this Wednesday afternoon. May corn at $3.79 and a quarter, down 3 3/4 today. July at $3.87 and a quarter, 3 3/4 lower. And September at $3.95, down 3 3/4. December corn down 3 cents at $4.04 3/4. And next year in the March at $4.14 3/4, down 2 3/4. Soy complex, May beans, $9.71 1/2, up a half. July a quarter higher at $9.76 1/2. In August, $9.75 1/2, down a quarter. September futures at $9.66 1/4, down 1 1/2. And November beans, 2 3/4 lower. New crop settled at $9.60 1/2. Since January at $9.66 1/2. Next year down 2 3/4. Bean meal, 20 cents higher at $3.19.90, and the bean oil at $30.95, 8 cents lower on the afternoon. Chicago wheat at $5.26 1/4, and the lead option May up a quarter. July at $5.23 3/4, down 1 1/4. Kansas City hard red at $5.65 3/4, down 4 cents for the day. Live cattle futures from the CME Group at $161.45 in the April, $1.55 lower. June at $151.15, down $1.17 1/2. Feeder cattle finished the lead April at $216.27 1/2, down $1.40. The May at $213.57 1/2, that down $1.37 1/2 for the feeder cattle. And lean hogs in the April contract, 32 1/2 lower at $62.25. The May futures were up 90.
Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 12th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold is at AgriGold.com.
In the outside markets for the day, crude oil at $50.74 a barrel, down $3.24 on the afternoon. Heating oil or diesel fuel at $1.70 3/10 cents. That's up, or rather down 8 cents for the day. And the gasoline on the RBOB or wholesale price at $1.74 8/10. That finished 11 2/10 cents lower. Natural gas at $2.62 2/10, down 5 8/10 cents. Ethanol futures at $1.59. Their settlement price 1 1/10 cents lower. Dow Jones Industrial Average about 16 points higher at this hour, 17,801. Gold futures around $1,199, down $11.25 in the U.S. dollar, up 0.084 at 98.14. Here's what the weather forecast looks like for the Urbana-Champaign area today. A 50% chance of showers, some thunderstorms today. Cloudy with a high of 78. Southwest winds at 7 to 10 miles an hour. Tonight, occasional showers, some thunderstorms. Those will come after 8 in the evening with a low of 62 degrees. A south-southeast wind at about 8 mile an hour, and then a chance of precipitation overnight as well at the 80% level. Showers and thunderstorms likely through today. Tomorrow, some of the storms could be severe. Cloudy, a high of 76. It'll be breezy with a south-southwest wind. Little gust all the way to 34 miles an hour. Chance of precipitation set for 70% tomorrow, and then they'll continue in tomorrow night at 60%. And on Friday, finally, mostly sunny skies and a high of 61 degrees on a west wind at 15 to 17. More on the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of this half hour.
Support comes from Stewart Peterson. Since 1985, Stewart Peterson has offered strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. Information is available at stewart-peterson.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on this Wednesday afternoon. I'm UofI Extension's Todd Gleason. On the phone line, Jackie Vick. She's at Stewart Peterson from right here in Champaign County. Jackie, thanks so much for being with us. Let's start today with tomorrow's USDA reports. What are your expectations for the WASD figures?
Well, I can, I'll give you what they have as, you know, what I've been accumulating as average expectations, and then I'll tell you where I either vary or don't vary. You know, on the wheat side of it, I can see it. They're looking for a million bushel increase. That's like nothing, you know. So, and I don't expect wheat to change very much. On corn, they expect it to go up 77 million. I think that might be a little high for this report. And on beans, down 15 million. I can live with that. The ones that I'm concerned about are the world level. Very little change to no change on wheat, which is understandable. Corn up 1.6 million metric tons. Yeah, it's possible, but beans, absolutely no change. And I'm surprised by that. Although, when you look at the fact that the USDA already has the Brazilian bean crop up at 94.5 million metric tons, and they've got the Argentinian up at 56, those are pretty close to what's being said will probably come in. So maybe there won't be any change there. But that could be the one wild card in the background that could make a difference on the report itself.
And those numbers, of course, are due out at 11 o'clock tomorrow morning Central Time. You can watch our website at willag.org. I'll post into the website using my Twitter account. My Twitter account is at Commodity Week, so if you're out and about using your smartphone, you can get it on Twitter if you happen to be a Twitter user, or just at willag.org. If you'd like to see these numbers as they've been laid out by Jackie just now, and what the trade expectations are, those are on our website too. They're at willag.org, and then look for the USDA reports link. You'll be able to find them. Other things that you've been watching this week, there are all kinds of things, both in-house, relatively speaking, from the United States government and around the world. Where do you want to start?
Well, I want to finish up on the WASD report quickly. I had a couple other things that I didn't mention before. And one is that, you know, when you look at the April report, it has one of the highest levels or highest tendencies to be negative, 67% for corn on the day of report and 73% 2 weeks after the report. Now, beans have a tendency also to be negative on the day of the report, 60%, but conversely, in the past, they have been up. They've had, after 2 weeks, they have a 67% chance of being higher. That's out of the last 15 years. And so it'll be interesting to see if we can follow those same types of patterns this year. I'll be surprised. Let's just put it that way. But I think it's worthwhile noting that we've had that type of an action. So I think for guys who've done nothing, you buy yourself a put, even if it's a short-dated put, but at least get something in place, depending upon where you stand in the cash market, too.
Yeah, interestingly enough, I suppose that's in part because in the April WASD, they have to, they have to take the WASD numbers and forward figure them using the grain stocks figures that were released just a couple of weeks ago.
Right. And I think that's why you're seeing, you know, the tendency for it to be up 77 million on corn, because we had the surprise, you know, and the higher stocks numbers and what had been expected in that particular report. So it'll be interesting to see if they can clean that up. I think it could be a little lower than that, but we'll see. You know, at the world level, you were talking about, you know, we've got the FOMC meeting notes coming out this afternoon, and it's going to be interesting to see what they say. You know, the payroll data last Friday was not really good. And so it shows that our economy is slowing, and therefore it could mean, you know, that the Fed will hold off and maybe we'll actually lose some of the upward momentum on the dollar. So far, we haven't seen that at all. The EIA came out today. It was interesting. We had our oil inventories up for the 12th week in a row. Crude stocks were up 12.2 million over last week. Gas stocks up 2.7 million over last week. The refineries ramped up. They're up from 89.9% to 91.1%. And imports went up 796,000 barrels over the week before. They announced last night, I was reading about this, that the Saudi Arabia is actually putting out 10.3 million barrels per day, which is the highest level ever since the record started being kept in the 1980s. So, you know, it certainly doesn't sound as if they're looking to slow anything down when you come right down to it. So, you know, it's going to be with this whole Iran thing, if that brings another half million to a million barrels a day onto the marketplace, you got to wonder where crude might go to.
Yeah, so crude's been fairly volatile. When we talked with Harry Cooney yesterday, he gave us a really wide trading range. He said not to laugh, but it was from 40 to 75 bucks. 40 mm-hmm. would be on the bottom end. I think we've been down to, what, 46 or 44. I can't quite remember how low
right.
that is.
Yeah.
So you think more likely to go lower than higher at this time?
Well, it certainly seems that way. I mean, you know, it's everything will depend, I suppose. If we start to see the dollar deflate, we might see the crude oil prices come back somewhat. But I still think that if we continue to just lob on, I guess when you look at the imports up 796,000 barrels, that really, to me, gives us somewhat of a statement to what's going on maybe in the fracking world. And when we see on the Railroad Association website how much more grain is moving in contrast to oil right now, maybe they're holding off, and that could make a difference. But it's I still think that $32 that we put in 2009 isn't necessarily out of the game, and yet you know, nobody knows. I would expect it's going to come from Saudi Arabia before it comes from anywhere before, and you know, to actually push these prices higher.
You know, much sooner rather than later, we'll turn complete attention to the corn crop that will be put in the ground very shortly and is in some places already in the United States. But we still have to deal with the old crop and exports and what's being grown and used around the world. China has been not an importer, really, of U.S. corn, but certainly of other products. Has that eaten into any of the marketplace for corn at all?
Well, I think that when you look at the bigger picture, and one of the things they came out and talked about was that domestic corn in China right now is 30% higher than the world price, and that's primarily because they purchased 77 million metric tons of reserve corn from local producers. And so, you know, that goes back to what you and I have talked about before, the support price. So it appears that their appetite for sorghum, they think imports could double this year. DDGs and barley, whose imports could go up 40% to China, are really growing. But when you look at those alternate feeds, they could also cut 20 million metric tons of corn use. Now, China takes a very small amount of corn from us. I mean, they take corn, but it's at really small levels, at least at this stage of the game. And so it's just, you know, the sorghum situation. You know, you sent out that map yesterday on the sorghum planting rate,
yes,
which I thought was really good, because it's a slow day when you're sending out a sorghum map. But at the very same time, it appears that, you know, the demand for sorghum is going to continue to grow. And so that's not a bad thing at all. You know, we need it. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah, that was kind of funny. For those listeners, we do have some conversations, relatively speaking, in-house. At least I have conversations going out to many of the brokers and folks that you hear on the air. And yesterday I had gotten hold of the weekly weather outlook that comes from USDA, very much the same as the Crop Progress Report, except this one's released on Tuesday afternoons, and it did have a map of where sorghum planting had taken place and how quickly it was moving along. But yesterday was it was just a slow day. So I thought the brokers would get a kick out of it, and apparently they did.
Hey, oh, yeah.
Other things around the planet, Greece and Russia. That's kind of an interesting little thing.
Yeah, Greece and Russia. Isn't that interesting? The prime minister from Greece went over to Russia and talked to Mr. Putin. And, of course, Putin came out and said, oh, he's not over here asking for money. But they think he may be trying to use his relationship with Putin as a bargaining chip in the talks with the EU. You know, and Putin came out and he hinted that Russia might lift the food ban imports on food imports from Greece. So it's kind of interesting that all of a sudden you're seeing alliances coming in between these two. Russian imports in the first quarter of this year fell 35.6%, and that's primarily due to the sanctions and to the drop in the ruble. You know, so when people sanctioned Russia, Russia turned around, you know, and put embargoes on food imports and things like that from some of the countries over there. And so it appears that the Greek prime minister is cushioning up. They were probably drinking some vodka together yesterday while they were talking about this. But Greece is in big trouble because they are going to be out of money in a few weeks. They have a $495 million debt due on their EU, I think it's the 9th, so, you know, this weekend. This is not a pretty situation for them, and I don't know what the future holds in terms of how they're going to handle it. But ultimately, it will probably have some impact on us.
Hey, how much trade have we had in Chicago prior to this report?
Oh, overnight. Overnight was what a gas that was. 70 million contracts, or 70,000 contracts of corn traded in a 2.5 cent trading range. I shouldn't laugh, but it reminds me of 1998 and 1999, you know, and things like that when we did those kinds of things. And so, you know, one of the things in the background on corn right now, of course, is the avian flu. You know, with another. You know, another case up there in Minnesota, that's not a good thing for us. It's hitting the turkey business hard, and the bad part about the avian flu basically is that those animals have to be destroyed. They can't come into the food chain anywhere. And so, you know, this I think, you know, this is kind of typical when you look at that 70,000 contracts ahead of a report like this. You can just tell you got people on both sides. Nobody can quite figure out where they want to go. You know, so it'll be good to have that out of the way tomorrow.
Hey, one thing I did make note of, and I saw this a couple of times, I think, on Twitter and on the web pages I follow, there's a pretty good-sized fire that had been and may still be burning, actually, in the Port of Santos in South America.
Yes, it's in one of their fuel areas, and actually their hope was that they would have it out by today, but it has definitely impacted some of their ability to be able to load out ships. They were required to leave certain areas open, I'm sure just because they didn't want it to spread anywhere, and so that's been bad. Hopefully it'll be good when it's out, it's over, and they can just get back to what they were doing. But South America is interesting. Argentina right now said 2 weeks of dry, which is what basically is forecast for, and they are definitely set to harvest record crops in both corn and beans. So that is that's kind of a big turnaround. And this week, Dr. Cordonier said that, you know, he upped his bean numbers for Brazil, and isn't that far off where the USDA is anymore. So it'll be. I don't know if USDA will actually do anything, or I should say WASDE will actually do anything on this report as to whether or not they'll lower Brazil. I doubt it. You know, it's just hard to get good information out of there. But what it does say is, you know, there's quite a wall of beans down there along with all the old crop that's still sitting.
Yeah, speaking of walls of beans, not this month, but next month, USDA in its WASDE figures will include their expectations for the coming year. So that'll be interesting to watch in the month of May, mm-hmm. too. One final thing, weather in Australia. How about wheat?
Well, you know, that is something, you know, we always look down to Australia, basically, you know, and see what's going on. And unless El Nino shows up, by April to June are forecast for 60% above normal rainfall, then it looks just really favorable for wheat, which is not good news for our producers, but certainly good news for them who have had lots and lots of problems. And by the way, that's wheat, just for our southern producers. But, you know, it's wheat has it's got a double albatross right now on its back. And part of it, of course, is the U.S. dollar. And the other part is, you know, that the rest of the world is not doing too badly when it comes to wheat. We are seeing some drops in some areas, but Argentina's up a couple million metric tons, and that's by far offsetting some of the drops that we're seeing. And we've got Russia estimated to be up 7 million metric tons. So there's an awful lot of wheat floating around out too. So you higher U.S. dollar is certainly not a good thing, and great weather down there isn't either.
All right. Hey, thanks so much. We appreciate you being with us today.
Thanks, Todd. Have a good one.
You
Take
too.
Care.
All right. Bye-bye, Jackie.
Bye-bye.
Jackie Vakes is with Stuart Peterson from right here in Champaign County. Now, one quick agricultural news item for the day. Targeted conservation work in the Mississippi River Basin is expected to unite the USDA, farmers, and local organizations to help clean waterways that flow into the nation's largest river, the Mississippi. USDA's Natural Resources Conservation Service, NRCS, is investing $10 million this year in 27 new high-priority watersheds and 13 existing projects, And there is one in our Illinois, Indiana listening area. That's called the Headwaters Big Pine Creek, Indiana Project. NRCS will work with the Benton and White County, Indiana Soil and Water Conservation District's Big Pine Creek Watershed Group, the Nature Conservancy, the Conservation Technology Information Center, Cirrus Solutions, Purdue Extension, Indiana Soybean Alliance, Pheasants Forever, and Indiana Department of Environmental Management to reduce nitrogen, phosphorus, and sediment loads in the critical watershed to improve the conditions of waterways for recreational use and wildlife. NRCS plans to invest $50,000 in fiscal 2015 as part of a nearly $500,000 commitment to this one project over 4 years. Total investment, by the way, nationwide expected to be about $100 million over the four-year life of the project. The government says it's to address critical water quality concerns in priority watersheds while boosting rural economies.
How would you like this as your personal cell phone answering message?
Good agricultural day to you. This is Illinois Public Media Director of Agricultural Programming, Dave Dickey. Jack is not here right now, but leave your name and number after the beep and he'll get back to you.
You can have that or another custom message on your cell phone from Dave by calling now at 217-244-9455 with your pledge of agricultural support. We'll randomly pick up to five winners, one for each day of our spring pledge drive.
Of course, you're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org. Now let's take a look at the agricultural cash grain trade from the Anderson's Climbers facility outside of Logansport, Indiana. Alex Reed joins us today. Alex, how are you this afternoon?
I am very good, Todd. How about yourself?
I am very, very well. Did you get rainfall out of this last event?
Actually, this morning had quite a bit of rain. A lot of people around us, they saw a lot of rain, up to a couple inches in some places. It moved through quick, lasted a couple hours in general, but yes, we got quite a bit of rain our way.
The last 2 weeks when we've talked, you guys have been a couple of cents over. What are you today?
We are still posted two over today. Basis is kind of slowing down. It's not as strong as it was, but we are posted at two over right now at Climbers, so we're at a cash corn of 381.
And I suspect you're still looking by the basis for corn, but not really collecting that much, at least in new sales.
Yeah, that's correct. There's a lot of corn out there. The report last week, we thought it would be bullish, kind of help us get a little bit more corn sold, but or corn bought on our end, but it ended up being much more bearish than we thought. There's just a lot of corn being held out there by farmers and end users, and kind of drove the market in the opposite direction where we thought it was going to go.
So very quickly, I suspect you're looking at that 150 million bushels that's kind of sitting there in the corn market, thinking, will it show up in the WASDE numbers the opposite direction and give it a bullish push? Okay, I understand. What are your bids for the day?
Right now, cash corn at Climbers, we are 381. Delphi, we are 377. And cash beans, we are at 974.
Okay, thanks so much.
Yep, thanks, Todd.
Alex Reed is with the Anderson's Climbers facility in Logansport, Indiana. Back in 2 minutes.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois. Dedicated to improving the quality of life for Illinois farmers by offering financial products and services geared specifically to the farm community and developing partnership-based relationships with its agricultural customers.
It's National Empanada Day. Empanadas are made by folding a thick, circular-shaped dough patty over a stuffing, creating its typical semicircular shape. Pastry is the traditional Latin version of the U.S. Hot Pocket. On this day in agricultural history in 1862, John D. Lindy of Philadelphia patented the first aerosol dispenser. In 1873, Alfred Paruff received a patent for the first commercially viable margarine manufacturing process, but he was a little too successful. When margarine sales threatened butter sales, state and federal officials levied taxes on margarine. In 1879, the Echo Farms Dairy of New York began selling milk in glass bottles, the first time that ever happened in the U.S. In 1898, the first U.S. College of Forestry was created at Cornell University. In 1911, Melvin Calvin was born. Calvin was an American biochemist who discovered how carbon dioxide is absorbed into green plants and its conversion into carbohydrates and other organic compounds. And in 1992, Benjamin Eisenstadt died. He invented the artificial sweetener Sweet'n'Low. When saccharin became popular in the 1950s, it was originally only available as a liquid or as tiny pills. Eisenstadt mixed saccharin with dextrose to create saccharin in a packet form. And that's this day in agricultural history.
You're listening, of course, to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on a Wednesday afternoon. Drew Lerner is here to take up the weather forecast. Drew, this morning I was awakened by a pretty heavy-duty thunderstorm. Not only that, but a whole lot of hail came with it and some wind and, boy, enough hail that it stuck around, surprisingly, for, I don't know, an hour or so on the ground. What kind of rainfall did we get across the Midwest and where did it move through?
Well, you know, it was quite erratic today. We did see some localized amounts that got up over an inch in a couple of spots, according to Doppler radar. But as far as generalities are concerned, I think most of the precipitation was really quite erratic. One of the broader bands of heavier rain that occurred today was in the southeastern part of Missouri along the Illinois border, and from there over to the Ohio River in southern Indiana and northern parts of Kentucky. That area saw some localized amounts in the 1 to 2.5 inch range, according to Doppler radar. And the little storms that you're talking about were much more blotchy, if you will, more isolated. But there were some 1 to 1.5 inch amounts, according to Doppler radar, that did occur not too far from where you are and also in a small part of west central Indiana.
So that Ohio River Basin now, I would think, is pretty wet. How about to the south of there into the Delta region? All those places would like to be rolling with their planters.
Oh, absolutely. The Delta was relatively dry in the last 24 hours, and that was a good thing. But there's still a lot of moisture coming into both areas, the Ohio Basin and parts of the Delta, and even the Tennessee River Basin. And these areas are going to see enough rainfall over the next 7 days to float a lot of boats, I'm afraid. It may be not quite so bad as that sounds, but it's definitely going to be too wet to get into the fields again. Now, the Delta may have opportunity to get a little bit of work done before the greater rains show up a little later this week. But the Ohio River Basin, I think, for the most part, is just sogged in here. I don't think there's going to be much opportunity to get into the fields for a while.
And how are things progressing in the western United States?
Well, certainly the dry bias in the hard red winter wheat country is still ongoing. The crop ratings that came out earlier this week suggested things weren't quite as bad as the perception was, but conditions are deteriorating on a near daily basis. We've had quite a bit of warmth, 80 and some 90-degree temperatures the past couple of days. We're going to see that again for the next two, and then we'll maybe get a better chance for thunderstorms to rumble across a big part of that region as we get into this coming weekend, and that's a very important event because there won't be another chance again until sometime around the 20th of the month. And rain totals probably run from 0.2 to 0.8 inch and some localized amounts over an inch. That would certainly be welcome and a good start on improvement there.
And finally, check in on the eastern part of Europe. Ukraine and Russia had been dry.
That's right, and they are not that way now. They had a full week's worth of rainfall, and the ground is saturated in much of southwestern Russia and almost all of Ukraine. Even neighboring areas of Belarus are also quite wet. And the former driest areas in that area of the world, in the lower Volga River Basin, which the marketplace was watching so closely couple of weeks ago is also favorably moist now, not as wet as the Ukraine and southwest Russia, but it's time now for some drier weather, and they're still dealing with some standing water because there's frost still on the ground in some of those areas over there. So it's something still to keep an eye on for a while.
Thank you so much, Drew.
Have a great day.
You too. Drew Lerner, of course, with World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City, helps us wrap up this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.